God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Amen. The Word of God says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see you clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. This time we'd like to go to God in prayer. Brother Charles, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? I'd like to share a little while this morning with you on your eye test. Your eye test. Last Sunday, during Sunday school, we sort of got on this track for a little while, and I started thinking that'd be a good sermon to preach. And then Sheila went to the dentist. I don't know what day that was, this past week, Tuesday or so. And guess what? In the dentist's office, I came up with my sermon to preach to you this morning. Hope it's not as much pain as going to a dentist's office or not, right? What, your eye test. Do not judge. Boy, that's a big word, isn't it? Do not judge. We seem to live in a judging society, don't we? Everybody has their opinion about everybody else. And everybody judge others because of what they believe, who they are, what they look like, and who they are around. We know in society you've got the low class, the what else? Middle class. And what's the other one? The high class. I've always stayed down there on that bottom tier. How about the rest of you down there? But a lot of folks say they're looking down their nose at me. You've been around a person like that before? You can just tell by the way they are looking at you. They are judging you, maybe by the clothes that you wear, maybe the hairstyle that you have, whatever that may be. And they look down their nose at you and say, why can't they do better? Why, this is a big word that's used in society, why are they not like who? Why are they not like me? Why do they not believe the way that I believe? Why do they not speak the way that I speak? In society, we see a lot of that today. Just because you have stuff does not mean that you're better than anybody else. Amen? Let's say that one more time. Just because you have stuff doesn't make you better than anybody else. Amen? When I was growing up, we didn't have stuff. We barely got by. I've kidded you a whole lot and told you before about Mom's meal plan for the week. We had fried chicken 5 nights a week. That was before fried chicken. A chicken didn't cost $9. Y'all seen the price of chicken? But back then, that was the cheapest meat that you could have. And we would have our meal, and I've shared this with you before. First time Sheila ever went to our house, she about had a heart attack. Because we sat down for supper, and everybody had their own piece of the chicken. And you knew what your piece was. And Mom, after we would have supper, she would take the chicken, and she'd put it on the stove, and just leave it out there. And Sheila would say, aren't you going to put that in the refrigerator? Mama said, no, that's just in case you get hungry later, honey. And we'd go by every once in a while, and you knew what your piece of the chicken that you could have off the stove. And one night a week, we'd have pinto beans and cornbread. Amen to that? That's still good food, isn't it? And when we wanted to live real high on the hog, you know what we had? Meatloaf. That was the big night at the house. And I remember many nights wondering and hearing Mom and Dad talk about the water bill and the electric bill, how that we was going to pay these bills and how we were going to be able to do all those things. And Dad was preaching and that wasn't bringing in a whole lot of income. And Mom was a stay-at-home mom and they wondered about all those things. But what is so great that I can report today is the water was never turned off and we always had electricity, because God watched over us. But I also know there was a lot of people sort of judged us. Because I've always told people, If you wanted to look up the definition of being poor, the first part it would say is the Mills family. That's where you start. But praise be to God, not only were we judged, but God took care of us. So often, we have to figure out if we're being the one that judge other, or are we the judgee? Both of those are difficult, aren't they? And if we're honest now, time to look in the mirror. We've done both of those, haven't we? We have judged people. We have looked at people and just at a quick glance say, I don't think I like them. Don't think I'm going to get along with them. Why do they behave like they behave? Why do they have that last name that I know about it? Why is that? It's tough when you're having that mentality. But it's also very tough to be judged by others too, isn't it? And you know what? I've been judged before, and you can feel it, can't you? You just know that they're looking at your life and looking at your life and inventory of your life and seeing the parts that they like and the parts that they don't like. Well, I believe in the scripture over in Matthew, we understand a little bit more how when Jesus tells us about that, don't we? First of all, do not judge or you too will be what? Judged. Do not judge or you too will be judged. What does it mean? What does the word judge mean? Well, I looked it up. Don't even have to get a dictionary anymore, do you? Just look things up on your phone. I looked it up on my phone over at the dentist office the other day, and there was two things that was there. First of all, it says, a public official appointed to decide cases in the court of law. Well, guess what? I know all of you all, and none of you are an official judge in the court of law, aren't you? So that definition doesn't apply. The other one says, to form an opinion or conclusion about. To form an opinion or conclusion about. Well, that word opinion. You ever known anybody that's been a little opinionated before? I guess I could say I've been opinionated about certain things. Beth Hine knows back there, I get pretty opinionated when it comes to UK basketball, don't I, Miss Beth? And other things that we have opinions about. What we often want to do, though, is we want to force our opinion on what? Others. And if their opinion don't line up with us, we're going to do our very best to figure out what's wrong with them, aren't we? We're going to do everything that we can to share our opinion and tell others, this is what I believe that you should do. All of us sometimes have that ability to want to be a judge in the court of law, don't we? We want to say it's my way or what? The highway. We're not going to get along. I'm not going to bend at all. I'm not going to give in at all. I want it just to be the way that I want it to be. Well, as a Christian, I believe that we need to have one big opinion. We need to believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right? And we need to be very opinionated about that. But so often we're not even opinionated about that, aren't we? We don't share about the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Many aspects of our lives. Most of us like to be around people that are like us, don't we? We like to be around, you know, certain people with the same political ideas that we have. The people that hang around in the same community that we do, the people that talk like we do, the people that behave the way that we behave, and the people that do things the way that we do things. I remember when I moved out of the mountains, there was a lot of words that we used in the mountains that nobody understood when I got down here. And a lot of words that people use down here, I didn't understand from coming from the mountains. So often we just want to be around people that are like us. I believe so often we need to widen our horizon, don't we? We need to take in other things in our lives. Because so often we just become the judge and the jury and decide for all means, this is what I'm going to do. Do you like when people judge you? Do you like it? Do you like it when they judge you? I don't like that very often. I was in the court many, many times. It was not because I was in trouble. I was testifying for my job. But I would get on that jury stand, and I could just tell that lawyer was going to rip me apart. And he was going to judge me from head to toe. And he was going to find out anything that he could say to bother me. But so often, I remember when Mom and Dad and I would go to new churches. We went a lot during my growing up days, and we'd walk in the back door, and you just see people. I could actually say I saw people do this. They looked at the top of our head down to the bottom of our feet and said, made that decision right then if we're going to love them or we're going to send them packing pretty soon. And it was easy for them to learn who we were. Dad was the preacher. Mom was the what? Preacher's wife. And I was what? The preacher's kid. And they expected us to know everybody's name by next Sunday because they already knew our name, right? And they would judge us a little bit there. Well, so often we're like that in our lives because it says, but remember, over in Matthew 7:12, it says, but remember, do unto others what you would have them do to you. That's powerful, isn't it? Remember, do unto others is what you would have them do unto you. That would be a great motto to have in your life, wouldn't it? That'd sort of be a good thing to have on your mirror when you're brushing your teeth. I want others to treat me like I want to be treated. And I want to treat others the way they should be treated. And have not that judgmental attitude in my life. Not worrying about all of those other things, but realizing something. I was made in the image and likeness of God. Praise be to God for that. But also they were too. And that means that I'm a child of God, and they are what? A child of God. And in this great big family that we have in this Christianity walk, we're all working together. Next. We have all had planks in our eyes. I want to tell you something today. Hope this don't hurt your feelings too bad, okay? Steps on your toes, just pull them behind the pew just a little bit, okay? None of us here are perfect. You realize that? None of us here are perfect. Do you know in baseball, if you have a 300 average in baseball batting, there's a good chance you're going to make it to the Hall of Fame. You realize that? 3 times out of 10, you got a hit. The other, what? 7 times, you failed. I believe so often that's almost our percentage of life, isn't it? It's very low that we do things perfect. We get everything right. And we do exactly what we think we should be doing. What is easier to see? Is it easier to see the plank in your eye or the sawdust in somebody else's eye? Where is it? Well, so often, it's easy for us to judge others and look at others, but boy, it's hard to judge yourself, isn't it? Because guess what? There's two people that knows a lot about you. You know who that is? Yourself? And who? And God. They know. Those are the two people that know about you, but so often we look at ourselves and we try to hide all of these things, all of our bad behaviors. If people don't see them, they don't know about it, then it's not going to bother nobody else, so I'll just keep on doing it. In our lives, so often we judge others way harder than we ever do what? Ourselves. So often, over in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of what? Of the glory of God. For all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So what does that mean? We've all had things in our life we need to be judged about from God, don't we? We've all had things in our life we have done wrong. But so often, we want others punished more for what they do when we do the same thing and don't want to punish ourselves at all, do we? We need to look at what God's standard is for us to have in our lives, for all of us. So often, we hide our sin. We want that Adam and Eve religion, don't we? You think we can just hide from God. Even though we know we've done wrong, we're going to hide and try not to let God see what we have done. Well, I'm telling you what, when God walked into that Garden of Eden, he didn't take him very long to find Adam and Eve, did he? Because he knew exactly where they were, and he knew exactly what their sins were. Folks, I want to tell you, you can try hard to hide from God. You can try hard to hide from God the things that you've done wrong in your life. But this is 100% true today. No matter where you run, God's going to find you. And no matter how hard you try to hide things, God's going to find it. We have to realize today, you might say, well, preacher, I'm doing pretty good. Keep me closed up. Nobody knows about these deep, dark secrets I've got and all of these things. Well, we all believe as Christians, one of these days, the roll is going to be called what? Up yonder. And on that day, we are going to be known as what? As we are known. All things that we have done in our life is going to be opened up. And we're going to be able to see, and others, God, see what we've done wrong in our life. So often, we try to hide our sin. Guess what? It didn't work for Adam and Eve. And guess what? It can't work for us. Because God knows all those things. We love to give others advice. Yeah, you know a lot of people that love giving advice. But to be honest, we don't really like it when others give us what? Advice. But we love handing out that advice, don't we? If you only do this, if you only do it my way, if you only listen to what I say, that's not the kind of love that God wants you to have. Because we know as Christians, our Christianity needs to be based upon one word that I've heard Brother Charles Turner say over and over and over again. Our Christianity is based on love. And to have that love for God and to have that love for others. As Christians, we should be happy and thankful when other people are doing good. When something good happens in their life. When things are going good for them in their life. As Christians, we should have that mentality. Because we all know God jumps up and down when He sees us do things good, doesn't He? And He sees what goes on in our life. Today is the day to take out that plank. I like the analogy, don't you all? Sawdust, that just seems like that's little crumbles of things, doesn't it? Very easy. It'd be an adjutant in your eye, wouldn't it? Maybe a little scratchy. When you think about having a plank in your eye, that pretty much takes away your vision, doesn't it? Big difference between that sawdust and that plank. Today, as Christians, we have to be the ones to say, God, I know what I'm doing wrong, and I can see that plank that is in my eye, and God, I want you to help me to remove it. And lastly, this morning, after we can see better, it is time for us to help others. Got that plank out of your eye? You had all those things that you've been pondering on? Any of the rest of you ever ponder? I ponder. A lot of times, Sheila says, I get a look on my face when I'm pondering, just staring out to space. So you got all that pondering done, and your life is straightened back up. And now you're saying, I've helped myself. Now it's time for me to go out and to help others. I believe we can agree today there's a lot of people in the world today that need help, aren't they? A lot of hurting people from a lot of different avenues, financially, family situations, situations in the community, things that are difficult for all to have. We as Christians have to step back and say, God, I not only want to go to heaven, but I want everybody that I know to do what? To go with me. I want them all to go with me. And I want to share your love to others. Jesus helped a lot of people to see better, didn't he? Jesus was able to take a lot of planks out of a lot of people's eyes and a lot of sawdust out of people's eyes simply because he had that one big word again, simply because he loved them. And simply because he wanted the very best for them. You look over in Luke chapter 4, verse 10. The woman at the well. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, who says this to you, give me a drink, you would ask him and he would have given you living water. Kind of like that word, living water, don't you? When we get that thirst, when you have that thirst for God. That's what we want to have, is that thirst for God. And not only do we want to have that thirst for God, But it's also good when others around us are thirsty and we are able to help them find that living water. Isn't water great when you're really, really thirsty? When you've been out working and you come inside and you just say, just give me one little drop of water. Now, water comes in all different shapes and sizes, doesn't it? Some of it tastes good, some of it tastes bad. Sheila had the experience of going down to the Suffer Well one time, and I taught her into drinking some Suffer water. That did not go very well. Do not do that. That's not the kind of water you need to give. You need to give not Suffer water. You need to give somebody, when they're thirsty, what? Living water. And give them the opportunity to feel nourished and replenished in feeling the grace of God. That is what we need to give to others. Not judging them, but loving them. Not judging them, but giving them the opportunity to feel the love of God. Today, all of us has a testimony to share. I want you to know something. God's been good to me. I also know something else, because I know all of y'all. God's been good to you too. And God has blessed you. And God has brought you out of some dark, dark places. And He has took care of you before. Now it's time for you to say, you know what? God's been so good to me. He helped me get the plank out of my eye. He helped me to turn my life around. Now I want to go out and tell others about that living water. Well, I know next month now. Sheila and I got to go to the eye doctor. That's always fun. Figure out if you got it. Now I understand that when you go to get your driver's license renewed, y'all know this? You're going to have to make sure you pass a little driver eye test before you go in there. And all they're looking for is to see if your eyes have got better or they've got worse. Now I can tell you, Mariah knows this because she's been with me a few times. There's never been a time that I went to the eye doctor and my eyesight's got better. Any rest of you? Every time I went to the eye doctor, it got a little bit worse. I want to tell you what can give you 20/20 vision. You might say, Brother Paul, I can never have 20/20 vision again. Let's not talk about your actual eyesight. Let's talk about your Christianity. What could your eyesight look like if you had 20/20 God vision? Wouldn't that be great? To have that perfect view of how God wants you to live your life and not to be a judge or a judgee, that you're just going to be a Christian that's saved by grace and you know the love of Christ. Today, what's it look like? Is that old plank in there? Can you see it? Is it distorting your view? Is it causing you not to be the person, the father, the mother, the grandpa, the grandma, the brother, the sister that you should be, the friend that you should be? If you see that plank this morning, what is so great about this is you don't have to get a tweezer or something else to get that out of your eye, do you? Because God helps you remove it. And when God does something, He does it what? Complete. Every bit of that old plank will be gone. Even that sawdust, He can wash that right out by His love that He has for you. So today, what does it look like? We hope this morning you listen to God's Word. And if there's anything that God has laid upon your heart, we invite you to come as we have our closing song. So, Lord.